No.
No? Okay.
We'll record a fucking show.
Okay, do it.
Hello, welcome to the last show. Yeah, it's the last
Oh,
show.
well,
It's the last show on BTN. After 18 years, we are curling up and dying, leaving it in the corner, closing the doors, the shutters, pulling down the curtain on a long time of having fun with our mates. Simple as that. It's not going to be the end of the road for everyone. There's lots of people carrying on doing stuff, but we thought we'd have one last reminisce and invite anyone who's ever been on the show to come back. And a couple actually turned up. Thank you, Righty Boy. We've missed you, mate. Where on earth have you been?
we get old and
You've
grey,
been
mate.
great. You do, yeah, absolutely. You shocked me the other week when I saw your picture on Facebook.
I
Muller's
know.
joining us. Granty's joining us. Righty's joining us. Dave Ginsburg's joining us. Tom's here. Chuck's here. Jeff's here. Callum's here.
Keep
Martin's
right
here.
on, Caleb. Keep right
And he's,
on.
we've wasted so much time, he's no longer working anymore, so no one's going to walk in.
No,
Dr. Happy Mac is
no.
here, and Patrice is here.
Who?
How are we all doing, everyone?
Who?
Have you all got your have you all got your hankies?
Yes.
Oh. So
that's the
beat.
tone lowered.
Yeah, no, BTN started. No, that kind of tissue. No, absolutely not. BTN started in 2008. It was me doing a 3-minute podcast about the launch of Firefox. It was that long ago. And for 4 years, I did the daily show by getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, doing the stories, and then at 8 o'clock, I'd go to work. And how I kept that up, I have no idea.
You were
And then
young. That's how you
I
did
was
it.
young, yeah. Then I started the Big Show, which had Mark Silk on it, who was a voiceover artist here in the UK. He used to live opposite my house. And he came on a few times. Then I wanted to do video and do a live show and things like that. He didn't want to. And then we went to the Tech Podcast Network and met Carrie and Andy McCaskey and all those guys. And then we did a Mac show and got into the wider Mac community and met all of you lot. And it evolved from there. At our peak, the largest listenership that we had was 125,000
Wow.
downloads for one episode that had Andy Inatco on it. At the heyday, we were around 20,000 for the Mac show and 16,000 for the Big Show. And at the peak, we had 14 shows on the network, including one I did with Ellis called Dad and the Dude. We had the House of Cards show. We had the comic show that DHM did and
10
Jeff did, which was
episodes.
absolutely brilliant. That was seminal. That was a really good show.
That was a
Don
lot of fun.
McAllister did a lot. The original Mac show crew was DHM, me, Greeny, Carl Swagger, and who's out in the middle of the street?
That's
The
true.
motor,
Carl's
motorbike's just gone by.
gone
The,
by.
the show's gone down.
Oh,
The, cannot connect to the
yeah.
server.
We're killing the server.
No, the live stream's gone.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. So do I carry on or do we wait? Oh,
It's still recording, just continue.
okay. It went on for 18 years. I stopped doing the shows regularly about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So when I got some work that I thought was important that turned out to be horrific. Yes. And we're just going to sit and you can come out with some reminiscences. Lee Beckett on Facebook has said that his favourite show was the one where we forced Batwedge to eat Marmite.
That
That was live in the studio. And I remember 30A, that was one of the better places actually, because it was just up the road from my house. It was just up to the, and when we had the bash that year, I said, this is the BTN triangle, because I used to lose myself every Friday. So we'd do the Mac show at 4 p.m. Then we'd go to the curry house and drink beer. We'd been drinking beer all afternoon anyway. Then Muller would bring a bottle of whiskey. And then by the end of the Big Show, typically I was slurring my speech at best. And more often than not, I was pissed beyond belief.
Oh my God, I thought you just had a stroke. Did you
Well,
lose?
I
There
might as
was
well
one
have.
show where Jeff
was actually just silent all through. It was just me and you talking because we'd had about three bottles of scotch between us.
You know, the great thing is I could show up and I didn't have to do anything. It was just, I was a live audience.
Yeah, no, there was one of the shows that Hoya came to, the sponsors, and they'd come out for a curry with us. They'd bought us the curry. They'd bought us a shit ton of beer. Crikey Trousers were there. He'd done a gallon of Guinness before he came on the show, and he was not good.
Yeah, no, he was not.
And like we were all relatively sober compared to him. And he, and at the end of it, he's like, "I've talked bollocks, haven't I?" And we're like, "Yep."
Yep.
I've talked bollocks, haven't I? Wait, yep.
I can still remember when he tried to get me slaughtered at the bash.
Oh, yeah, one of the last
bashes.
He's
never forgiven you, by the way. He has not forgiven you. When I saw him the other week, he's not forgiven you.
Well, he started.
To be fair, this story was that he was trying to spike Muller's drinks, and he thought that Muller hadn't clocked that he was spiking his drinks. Muller had clocked his spiking his drinks and was swapping them over with his drinks. So it was fair payback. It wasn't, but he was rough as old boots.
You had to carry him back to his hotel. Didn't you have to carry him to his hotel?
I just messaged him.
Yeah, we had to take him back to his hotel over the road. And then he came round at like 5 or 7 o'clock in the morning to have a bacon sandwich. I mean, mate, you cannot be okay to drive. And he's like, "I drive like an old man. I'd be fine."
So yeah, he's American, is what you're saying.
Oh, shove that. Ben, hello, mate. Welcome for joining us.
It's great to be here for one last ride, Ewan. I have to say, right now, I am picturing the Princess Bride BTM edition. BTM edition.
You killed my father for a pet to die.
Since we're talking about statistics, anybody has a guess what the top, let's say, two shows are on as of our backend?
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
By number of episodes that we've posted.
Oh, well, Debbie McGee's Five of Spades was the one that killed us. We had an approach. So we did a really good episode on the Mac Show, and it was actually like we knew what we were talking about. Don McAllister was playing a heavy part that day and kept Greeny in check. And and Natko had been on, I think, as well. So, it was pretty good. And we got an approach on the following Monday from Asda. In the UK, which is a supermarket chain owned by Walmart. And they were talking to us and said, "We really love your show. We really want to be part of the network. We want us to front up. We want to do some pushes on tech, and we want you to talk about the tech that we stuck in store and all that kind of stuff." I'm like, holy shit, this is going to work. So I put a proposal together and sent it to them. On that Friday, we recorded an episode where we didn't actually say anything particularly inappropriate during that episode. But Greeny started going on about Paul Daniels' magic show from the 80s here in the UK, and a guy called Hans Moretti, who was one of the people who used to go on it. And someone in the chat room typed, "I've seen Debbie McGee's Five of Spades." And Debbie McGee was like his Debbie McGee was his like sexy assistant. So we all got into a guffaw, and it got a little bit inappropriate. And I got an email from Asda on the Monday morning going, "Thanks, we've decided to look elsewhere."
I wonder.
But the thing was, like, Don McAllister gave me a right talking to, and he's like, "Why don't you just be the person that they want you to be?" I'm like, "I'm not being me, then, am I? I want to do the show that I want to do with my mates. I don't want to be a corporate shill. I'm not interested."
Also, to be fair, it would have happened the next week or the week after.
Yes.
You know? Paul Dixon's just put, he remembers that in the chat room. That was a great episode. So it's obviously not that one, because you didn't say yes immediately when I said it, Patrice.
No, I meant the total number of shows, like which one we've done the most of.
How many shows we've done?
Yes. So which one of the shows has the biggest number of episodes?
It's got to be the Daily Show, surely, because it was five a week.
It's actually the news show.
The
news show. Oh, yeah. 1,909 episodes.
Wow.
1,909. Wow. Second biggest. What's your guess?
Oh, it's got to be the Big Show, because that started before the Mac Show.
It's actually not. Whoa. It's the Mac Show. By a smidge, I guess we skipped more Mac shows than more big shows than Mac shows, like they got canceled or whatever. The Mac Show has 717, And the Big Show is like 600 and something. Where was it? The Big Show, 639.
And how many episodes of the comic show did we get out?
The comic 10, show.
Maybe 11, maybe 9. Yeah. An average of 10. An average of 10.
10, exactly 10.
Exactly
10. It's a Fawlty Towers classic.
In our defense, everyone got divorced at the same time. And
that was so horrible.
Yes.
Every episode of that show, I started off so bad.
Yeah.
Episode of that show, I had no idea about. I can't remember finishing a single episode of that show.
it was a group therapy event.
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
The fourth place goes to the photo show, by the way, with 179.
Yeah, I did photo show pretty religiously for a while. So,
for a while, yeah.
Yeah, because I used to do it at like 12 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah.
So I'd get into the office and I'd prep the show. I'd do it, go live at 12, and then I'd have time to get ready for the match show and stuff afterwards. So I can believe I did a fair few of those.
Yeah, 179, so quite a lot.
And I'm going to do that again. I need to do the photo show again because that's the only thing I actually knew anything about. So,
are you starting up a podcasting network then, Ewan? Is that what this
is? No, I'm not. I'm going to see if I can find the password for the YouTube channel and put it on there.
Yeah, Ewan, when has knowing anything about anything ever stopped us from having a show?
Never, never.
No, but, I mean, you've made it when you get hate mail. So I used to. There was a point where I used to get email from people, and it used to just say "wanker" in the title. The body of the email just said "wanker" as well. And then there was one guy who wrote, and he put down, "You know fuck all about tech," and I replied, "I know."
You've made it.
That could have been me, because that's how I ended up on this bloody show. Because I said, "You know, bugger all about this," and you said, "Put your money where your mouth is." Then, come on.
I feel you've made it, Ewan. When they're actually writing a letter to you, and they've just written "wanker" on it, and the post office still gets it.
I loved it,
and it still reaches you.
Yeah, oh yeah, it still reaches him. Yeah, for sure.
My proudest moment was having to get a harassment order against one listener who just would not stop ringing me at fucking midnight on a Friday.
Nice.
Wow.
Was that not Sunna?
Yeah, and I'm pissed off. I still can't call Ewan.
You're banned from the UK forever.
Oh. No, I used to get this guy who'd just ring me at like midnight on a Friday, and he'd just be quiet on the end of the night. You know, fuck all. So there was a guy called Jonah Max who was around. He was doing the nonsense show with Chris Woods and a few of the others that was on it, and he described himself, I can't say the word, but he was a professional twat finder. And I said, "Can you sort this guy out? I've got his email address," because he'd written an email to me. Anyway, within about 20 minutes, Joe had given me back his email address, his LinkedIn profile, his the number of businesses he'd had on Company's House, and he'd had like 9 failed businesses over the course of 7 years. And I just wrote him an email back because I'd found out who he was. And
Did you say wanker?
I went into the police station at Sully, and I gave them the details, and they went, right, okay. So they contacted him, and he went, "Well, he was really nasty to me in an email." I'm like, "I didn't send an email to you. I didn't ring you at fucking 12 o'clock at night, mate." So.
And he's here on the show tonight.
You're a stalker.
See, it does work.
No. I quite liked it. The one thing that I always loved were the iTunes reviews, because you get some in there that were never offensive, but they were truthful, and you could laugh along with them because it was like, yeah, we don't know what we're doing. And then the one that's on the video that we'll play at the end that Wrighty did where the guy's just like, "This is one of the best tech podcasts out there." We're all just sitting chuckling to ourselves, like, really?
It's like, no.
Are you paying attention, mate?
Yeah.
It's like, thoroughly knowledgeable. What? It's thoroughly knowledgeable. I don't think so.
From a certain point
of
view,
were they watching one of Wheel's podcasts and accidentally commented on us?
Yeah, no, we had a few times. There's a few times we were number one in tech podcast charts. That mm-hmm. was nice. Kyle Swagger, he won't talk to me now. I don't know why. But Kyle Swagger, a lot of the donations that we had paid him for a long time to do the new show. And he's the bulk of that 1900 episodes. He did it religiously for a long period of time. Thank you, Kyle, even though you don't want to talk to me. So, yes, there was. I mean, we've had so many people around the network over the years. Like, say, Andy McCaskey came on, and we were just kind of like, oh, so what did you do? I was part of the team that created the Motorola StarTAC. And you're like, oh, okay, beat that, everyone. Then Carrie Holtzman had me on as like the photo expert on the Computer America show. So I'd get up at like 2:30 in the morning and do like half an hour's prep and go on and then answer listeners' questions in America from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. and then go back to bed. It was it was heady as well, though. It was really nice because there was no real podcasts out there. Instead of like 20 million podcasts available, there was probably 1,000, certainly probably only about 200 or 150 that were tech-based podcasts. So we were right at the cutting edge of it all. I've got to say, I mean, I started doing the Daily Show and just throwing those out, the news show. And 2 weeks in, I'm like, I don't know if I can be bothered anymore. I'm just getting no feedback. I got no emails. No one said a word. We haven't charted or anything like that. And then Amber MacArthur picked us as the podcast of the week on Net at Night on the Yellow Ports Network, and it just went vertical from there.
That's awesome. And I have to say, I was twice, once in Waitrose, so that was your audience demographic, and once
at
the electric car show at Silverstone. I was talking to someone, and so twice in my life, someone just came up to me and went, excuse me, are you Dr. Happy Mac? I recognise your voice from the podcast.
That's awesome.
Okay. Fine.
I've had two as well. There was one in the Costa Coffee at Victoria. I was stood with Steve Neighbour waiting to get a coffee, and I was talking to him, and the guy in front just turned around and went, I know that voice. I went, oh, hello. And there was a guy at Wembley Stadium for the NFL, and he went, Ewan. I made sure I had a picture with it, so it's cool. Recognition's nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, to balance that out, Ewan, first time I was on, I know it was a last minute thing. Someone was supposed to be on, and they had to drop out. And you're like, well,
yeah, Kelly messaged
another person, and Kelly's like, yeah, I know a guy. I had no idea who you were. I had never heard of the show before. I had no idea what it was. It was just Kelly said, hey, can you hop on this show? And since it was Kelly, I said, of course. And so I came on the show blind. I had no idea.
Yeah, but you were instantly a weekly edition.
I always get tricked into being on shows.
Because you're gullible.
I tricked you to come on my show, Jeff. So.
Yes.
Yeah,
which reminds me, Jeff, I have to trick you into something because I now have Fridays free.
Batwinch is here.
Ben, you have some ideas.
Yeah.
Batwinch, you missed us saying that one of the guys on the Facebook post said that the favorite episode was when we forced you to eat Marmite. So,
told you it was Marmite.
You sent me some Marmite at one point, and it was like, oh my God, what is that stuff? No one should eat it.
Oh, Marmite's gorgeous, mate. I got some little packets, Marmite. You know, like the little ring ones, And I sent them to Doc and to you,
It's just a leftover process of beer.
It's leftover. Why do people eat it?
It's
not one not
horrible. Tastes like stinking feet.
Aren't you supposed to put that in your garden as mulch?
Yes.
No. I think you probably use the whole pot and things like that, whereas a lot of people just tend to have a little smear of it. It's an essence a little bit for some people.
Well, you know, it's one of those Marmite products. It's, I get it now. Oh,
I thought I'd been punked. I thought you know, I didn't know what you put in it. I knew it probably wasn't poison, but you know, I thought, well, he said it over. I'll try.
Well, if I was sending you poison, I went to a lot of trouble to print the label on it and make the tiny packet full of it, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for coming, Ben. By the way,
Thanks, you gotta go.
Yeah, I have to bow my PT appointment. It's been a pleasure, Jim.
Go for it. See
Great
you all.
To see you, Ben.
See you, Ben.
Right when you get work.
Yep.
Hey, Ewan, I know the video hasn't been played yet, but I wanted to ask, when you, I'm assuming it was the ice bucket challenge when they were pouring water over you. Why did they pour it so slow? Was it just to torture you? Because usually those were just dump and go.
I think that's slow motion.
It was.
No, we wanted to torture him.
It looked like you were really.
Well, it was my ex-wife was doing it for a start, so there probably was a bit of torture involved. So.
I knew it.
There's a sign, yeah.
Yeah, Anders has just posted in the chat room. First time I was on the iPhone was a single digit. Andy came into the network and sent me. Andy is one of those people like Patrice who's done a lot in the background as well as, and most of what Andy's done has been in the background for BTN. But he came out with a program that he created called Geek Badge, and it was like you answered questions about tech, and then you could show your Geek Badge to the people that helped you when you went into the computer store. So it was like if you were Gold Geek Badge, you could say, right, okay, you can start talking to me like I have an understanding of what an IP is and all that kind of stuff. It was a great idea, and we promoted that through the network. And he is also responsible for the green counter. So when we used to start recording, I used to start the green counter on my iPhone, and then every time Greeny swore, I would tap the iPhone. And then
like...
Greeny had played along as well, and Greeny had recorded a lot of stuff like, oh, that's not nice. Ouch, that hurt.
Yeah.
So then at the end of the show, it would do a little screen and it would have all the time codes of when Greeny had screwed up the stuff. And then Anders is also the person who's joined me in the Sentry stuff, the camera stuff. And all of the devices are called ICE devices. And when I asked him why he called it ICE, he said, well, because it's I can edit. Because that was always the standard phrase of when Greeny swore, I put, don't worry, I can edit, which I never did. Yeah. I never edited.
But the point
Bat
is,
Wench is here.
You still can. Bat Wench, I feel like it's
Hello.
A party now.
Hello.
Yeah, now it's a party.
How are you, Mrs.?
Alive and not crying, as they say in Norway.
I don't know what crying is in Norwegian. Okay.
Crying.
It was Robert. Do you remember Robert? He's on the video, isn't he? I couldn't remember his surname. The guy that used to call him from Sweden.
Oh, Flack. Strictly. Was it Flack?
Robert Flack, that was it, yes.
Yeah.
String machine,
that's it, yeah.
String machine, that's the guy, yes.
Robert Falk. Falk, not Flack. Yeah. Falk, that was it.
Ian, you had all the letters. Good for you.
Yeah, that's fine. That's close enough. But there was a joke, wasn't there, at one point? Because it was like the British Empire. The sun never set on the British Empire. But we did get to a stage where we got so many people dialing in from so many different locations that the sun never set on BTN. We had everyone dialing in from everywhere, all over the world. We even had listeners in Japan who wrote to us and were in the Slack room and things like that.
Yep.
As well as Hawaii. As well as most of the people across America, a few people in, I don't know if you had a Russian listener or not, but there was a few of them. And there was one guy that used to dial in from France, wasn't it? He lived in Paris. I can't remember his name. We got him through Paul Wheatley. Yeah. And he was proper serious techie guy. And I think he managed about three episodes before he realized, I've got a career. It's going to burn here if I stay. Yeah.
You mean the guy from the UK who moved to France?
Not Alice.
No, this guy was pure French. He was sexy French with a a beard and lived in a like the proper apartment in Paris type thing. I talked to Paul Wheatley. Paul Wheatley did a lot as well.
At some point.
He probably did.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Paul Wheatley, there's not many of us who haven't. Paul Wheatley used to do the Gamer Show, and he used to have Sam and Chislin, mm-hmm. and they had the award, absolutely, for making the most inappropriate podcasts that you couldn't put an explicit tag on. They never swore once, but there was stuff in there you're like, holy shit, you cannot say that. And there was one, an episode about a badger. fettling a badger or something like that. And it was just like that whole episode. I was in tears listening to it. But there was not a single swear word in it.
Proper gentlemen.
They were geniuses.
Right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is. No, they were very good.
The first show I was on, I didn't understand the format. We were in the studio with Ewan. So I sat there waiting to try and get in to say something. Of course, talked out over, but never got to the chance. Didn't say a word. The whole show, never invited back again. So you have to learn to jump in when you've got your chance, don't you?
Well, that was kind of like the first show that Batwings did. She came in the studio and she was quiet. And then apparently Muller had said to her, don't butt in, don't take over. And so she said, fuck all.
I was told not to be like Kelly.
Let's not do that.
Well, yeah, never get my dead face.
I remember I was away working and Writer U took over the show and and you had like 2.5 hours of editing afterwards to just cut it back to a reasonable amount of time because Kelly had just talked constantly over it.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
It was. Wait, but she still decided not to talk to me afterwards for some reason.
I feel that all this is like it comes from a time when there wasn't an actual way to do things. I think the internet is full of everything. There's a way to do it. There's a way to be. There's a or podcasting now. There's a you do this sort of podcast. That's how we do that. But the whole BTN stuff comes from an era where there's no instruction manual and no expectation that you would do something in a particular way. Or be a particular sort of person. And I feel it's a very sad, sanitized kind of place that we have now with the corporate internet and the rise of all of these like big, goal hanger and things like that, compared to the sort of, here I am, this is what we're doing thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is very sanitized. We didn't really... The thing was, I always wanted to just podcast with my mates, and my group of mates grew and grew and grew. And if we had fun and said what we felt, then so what? So be it. And we used to take the piss out of Apple, something rotten. There's no way they were ever going to send us products.
I was in the middle of some rant about something that Apple had done that I probably thought was slightly stupid, probably to do, it was something to do with the Mac Mini or something like that. And I got a Twitter DM from Steve Doctor Who Moffat.
Oh, wow. All right.
Going, wow. You should really be called Dr. Grumpy Mac.
Wear that as a badge of honor.
And I was like, oh, Steve Moffat. Like, okay.
Yeah, no.
And then he left Twitter and left everything behind. And I think I asked him what's happening. That was that.
No, there was a, the thing was, there was a few people that, because we take the piss out of, and a lot of the things we'd say were meant to be constructive in like, it doesn't do this and it should do that, and that's that. And things would get fixed afterwards, and I can't remember who I was talking to, but they'd worked at Apple, and I said about, sometimes I feel like they actually listen to what we say, and they went, oh, yeah, you're known about.
On the blacklist.
I didn't know that was
a compliment.
Like,
oh, that's exactly. Why that job interview went so badly.
There's actually a hit squad for us that Apple have paid to sort of do us in, or whether we they love your feedback. No, because they really probably didn't. But
yeah, you never got invited to a thing, did you?
I got invited to speak at Macworld. I'll take that on my CV. I broke Macworld. I did the last one.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The one where Apple was
your fault.
Yeah.
It's actually my fault.
I always thought it I always thought it was my fault, but I guess it's yours.
No, it's Ewan's fault. Yeah, and you and people knowing you and Apple, and then having to pay for it, if you will. Yeah, that was a thing back in the day. Apple actually told Mac World Expo, which is not part of Apple, to pull my media credentials because it didn't like an article that I wrote.
Really?
Yeah. And for a couple of years, it's been long enough now. I think it's okay to say this. There was someone inside the Mac World Expo team that would secretly recreate my credentials and slide them back to me. And so we would do this spy handoff thing where I knew what lobby to walk through in Moscone, and they'd be walking the other way, and a little hand would come out. I'd just grab it and keep walking.
A dead drop.
We did a dead drop so I could have my media badge.
Spies like us.
Oh, my gosh.
Wicked. That's a cool story. You've never told that before, yeah?
No, to protect the innocent, of course.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
But, you know, no one's going to see this, so
<We're fine>. not anymore.
I have to give some of my memories. Jeff was the cause of me coming to this because he invited me and asked you, of course, you, and said it's okay. And I'm like, I'm still pretty new in the podcast world, 10 years now as of this year. I remember you invited me, and then I'm still trying to figure out your whole Skype setup. And I know so many times I got disconnected because you had to move to a different computer and all that fun process. Yeah. That was such an interesting way you did things. But, I have to say I'm pretty honored. I was pretty honored.
That's polite. That's incredibly polite, Dave.
I know.
Interesting way I did things.
I
had, so the thing is, we never had any money. So it was any donations that we did get, we poured back into it. So we bought mics or we bought lighting or something for the studio. Right. And the first big show that I did where I managed to get a panel show, I had two listeners had sent in G3 Macs to use, and I had my own laptop and another laptop, and then I had a MacBook Pro. I had a donated version of Wirecast that didn't work. So I was using,
Camtasia?
Black Cam or something. No, it wasn't even Camtasia. It wasn't even Ecamm. It was
Twists.
It was like Black something Cam or Black Cam or something. Anyway, it was just this thing that took two basic feeds and put them together, and you could switch between the two feeds. It was free because we couldn't afford a switcher. And I had four physical Dell monitors right next to me. You can see it on the video that Righty's done. And I had the four people on the four screens, and one camera was lined up to point at the four screens. So periodically, when I forgot, my hand would shoot in front of it because it was people used to think it was like a virtual shot of the four screens. How have you done that? And it's like, it's just a camera pointing at the four screens. And then I had like a Logitech camera that was pointing at me. And everyone was, we used to have little lower thirds on the screens. And everyone's like, I love your lower thirds. How are you doing that? Well, it was just photographic paper that I'd stuck on with double-sided tape. But of course, because I'm a pain in the ass, I'd lined them all up properly. And every time we had a show, I'd be pulling them off and then putting new ones on. And eventually I got to the point where I was like, the double-sided tape's not working. And I got double-sided magnets. So I had little magnetic on the back of it. I had photographic paper with a magnet on the back of it. And I used to put them on, and everyone thought my lower thirds were cracking. How had he generated those? It was all low tech. Just, and then eventually we got a sponsorship from Wirecast. They gave us Wirecast for 3 years, I think 5 years, and then we could do all the proper switching and stuff. But I still had like a big 42-inch screen here that was at an angle, so none of the people were at the right angle, and none of the graphics were at the right angle and stuff. It was just,
yeah.
And how many Skype lines? How many Skype lines did you have coming into the studio at one time? Because I remember when I first started coming, you know, some calling in this line. No, calling in on that line.
Yeah. Ewan kicked me a couple of times off a line. He's like, oh, no, someone has got, like, someone else, like, whatever. Doc is coming in on that line instead of the other line. Just switch over to the other.
Well, that was the problem. There was people like Doc, and you'd send them, I'd send an email out to them going, right, okay, Patrice BTN line one, Chuck BTN line two, Doc BTN line three, four, Jeff four, five, Don McAllister. And like, Don McAllister would read the email and do as he was asked. All the rest of you would as well, but Don would be like, fuck off. And he'd just start scoffing, and it would dial the last line that he was in. So then it's like, sorry, Patrice, do you mind moving to number four?
Exactly.
Do that to me too. I get moved over.
Would now be a bad time to mention the Purple Rain video, Seth Anders. Oh my god. So that that's on the server somewhere. God. That is on the server.
Okay, I have it somewhere.
We never published it, and Anders clipped it and stored it on the server. I was like, oh dude, that can never see the light of day. And it's me and John not John Culture, he does impressions. Oh my god, help me out.
Oh, I videoed it on my phone.
Culture. It's his first name. Oh my god, he's gonna be pissed off now when he hears this. Anyway,
I've got his name in my phone. Hold on a minute.
He was supposed to be driving home the next morning at like 7 o'clock because it was his wife's birthday, and Muller's throwing whiskey down his neck like there's no tomorrow. He's only a tiny little lad. And he must have done half a bottle on his own. And we're sitting there, and I'm trying to play Purple Rain, and the only chord I can play properly is the first one. Mm-hmm. And then it's me trying to sing it, and then the next lot of chords aren't. And it's 45 minutes of me trying to get the first verse of Purple Rain.
Did we do one at...
Mark Culture.
And I remember I videoed it on my phone, and you basically told me never put that on YouTube.
Did he do it at the Big Bash as well?
Yeah.
No, I don't think. Well, we might. Well, no. Did we?
Yeah.
You did it at your house.
Yeah, a bash at your house.
I've got a video.
I lost a bet. Oh shit!
Send it to
Tom. Was it you that I lost the bet to sing the Star Spangled Banner?
Yes.
Oh god, that
and
was
I did
painful.
It at the bash. Yeah, I lost my bet and I had to sing the Star Spangled Banner. I did all right as well.
No, you didn't.
It was good.
No, you bloody didn't. You were out of tune.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Everybody.
Being greedy did Englishman in New York as well. Him on the piano at my place, my old piano.
If you're talking about musical interludes, it's got to be Greeny playing on the show.
All the time.
Was just great. Yeah. That and his shoe expedition.
The left shoe.
Well, he only had one shoe.
That's nine thing. Left shoe.
Jeff, when you wrote your little synopsis, you put shoes.
Well,
Greeny was only selling
the
left size
same
nine.
Shoe.
Yeah, that's right. And he only had left size nine. Yeah. That was it.
How about his watches?
I bought one of those. It didn't. It never even started. Never mind how long did it last.
I remember him at a bash. Never. He couldn't get his head round Cards Against Humanity.
No.
I don't understand how people could be so cruel.
Did you come, Steve? Did you come to the Rainy Bash? Or was your first bash the?
Now the Rainy Bash was. I watched that on YouTube, and then I came to the next one.
How the fuck we never electrocuted anyone that day? I'll never know.
the very first one in your back.
No, that was the very first one was just a barbecue. Steve Neighbor turned up. Carl Madden turned up. There was like 15 of us, and I just cooked on a normal barbecue. And then the following year, I said about doing it, and we got this huge response. And I'm like, well, there's no way I can cook for this many people. So then we came up with the idea of charging. And we had a pig roast on the drive.
Yes, that was the one I came to.
And the guy came and I said, and he said, have you got a table? I'm like, well, what, don't you bring a table? And he's like, no. He said, what plates are we using? Well, don't you bring plates? No. Do you bring cutlery? Oh. No. Well, you can fuck off over Tesco's and buy them, mate, because I'm not paying for that shit. You don't just turn up with just a fucking pig. That's ridiculous. So we made him buy serviettes and plates and that kind of stuff. Sharon had made a whole pile of that kind of thing. Righty, you were definitely at that one because you were drenched.
I won a toilet seat.
Yeah, you did. It was, but it was.
And that's not a euphemism.
No.
And the,
why was the toilet seat a prize?
We had some shit prizes over the years. I mean, I made some key rings with BTN with on them, and they were 7-inch cutting boards.
I remember that.
Still got mine.
Yeah, they weren't going to fit in anyone's pocket.
No, I've still got one. There we go.
Yeah, that's when you got the laser printer.
And they had rings on the corner and everything, so you can put your keys on them.
I took it out so I could use it as a mace, mat.
So we, on the morning we'd realised it was going to be rainy. Paul Wheatley had come down. I had three canopy things that we put across the top of my deck. And then we realised it was going to be... So I went and bought another two and we had them going outwards. And then we had the bright idea of having the mixing desk and taking the XLR cables for the mics and putting them up into the roof. So we actually had a path where it could, where the woods could run down and then go into the mixer.
No.
And someone said, hang on, what about if we put a loop in so it at least drips off the loop? And like, that's a stunning idea. Anders says he's got a YouTube link. You bastard. You bastard. I didn't know you'd done that. And then we strung the mics out and the mics were hanging down from these canopies for people to walk up to and talk like Liam Gallagher. Mm-hmm. And we were like, when we do the shows, whatever you do, do not touch the mics. Just talk into them. Greeny got a blow up Johnny Ive, didn't he, as well? That went down well.
Named is that the one
Betsy came to?
Sorry?
Is that the one that Betsy from whatever the company was that does the spit?
Yes,
software?
Betsy, that's right, yes.
And her husband, yeah. I mean, I didn't think they knew what they let themselves Andy. In for.
Yeah, Andy was there. And Betsy, and it was a great day. There was a shit ton of beer drunk. And then people were walking over to buy more when we'd run out.
Which was the one with Batwench's TARDIS dress?
That was my first one.
Oh, no, because we had like 200 people there for that one. It was manic. And it was down at Water Orton. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody's certain comment of it's certainly bigger on the inside.
Oh, can I say that Ewan's wife punched him?
Are they still walking?
To be fair, I totally agreed with you.
To be fair, mate, most of you was on the outside, not the inside.
Because your ex missus bastard you for that one, didn't she? She was
I'm punching the arm, maybe, but that wasn't unheard of.
I think I was standing next to you when you said it. I was going like, what?
I've heard worse. I've received worse. I've given worse. I've got thick skin and thick thighs.
Mm-hmm.
The bashes were very special. They were a lot of fun. I used to have egg and spoon races. Human Hungry Hippos was hilarious, which was in the hall, and we had loads of little like ball pit balls of different colours. Yeah. And you had children on skateboards being pushed by adults with their ankles, and they had to go out with washing up bowls and grab balls. Sharon was great at that kind of stuff. She did all of the stuff like the balloons in tights and things, and you had to pop them to find out how many you had and stuff like that.
I think that's 2017 because that's when they have the videos here.
Yeah, and there was the egg and spoon races, and then with the card cutting championships, they were always hilarious. Yeah, absolutely
who
hilarious.
Beat the baby?
Do what?
Was it Mr. Wright who beat the baby?
Oh, he's a git.
Oh, God, yeah.
In the final.
Someone had to.
Greeny's like Marmalade won it once. Anders, Joe, Anders, lad, he won it one year. The kids did pretty well at it, actually.
Yeah.
And the idea was because it was just like you just cut the pack of cards, so there's no skill involved. So the kids ended up doing quite well at it.
I'll commit the woman.
Your famous balloon catapult, trying to catch balloons.
Well, yeah, but that was the one where Steve Neighbour thought it'd be great to point it right at me. And
I remember Dad, yes.
Luckily, it hit me in the chest, but it was full pelt. I mean, he walked back as far as he could, and it hit me in the chest. But I had a welt there for 6 weeks afterwards. Yeah. It was proper hard.
Do you remember when Patrice came over for a visit and we dragged him over to the Wasps?
Yes, that was right. Rugby match.
I still have the scarf.
Good.
Only the scarf?
Yeah.
So you should.
The Wasps don't exist anymore, but they still have the scarf.
No, yeah, no, they don't.
Yeah. I looked it up the other day. I was like, yeah.
Is it always dangerous?
I remember you stayed, because you stayed at my house, and then I said to you, so what do you know about rugby? Like, I don't know anything. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I've got an old England game here.
Yeah.
So I sat down and I went through, right, this is rugby, game played by people on this thing. And I went through all the different stuff. And you said that actually you enjoyed it far more because you at least had some idea of what was going on rather than it just being a complete...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the social aspect was more interesting and not too much.
The giddish, you mean?
Yeah, but it was fun. Yeah. It was fun. It was freaking cold, but it was fun.
Righty, do you remember crashing the shows because someone was using the microwave in your place?
Yes.
Whenever my wife would use the microwave, my signal went to crap.
Exactly. He's in the middle of a sentence. Just missing every other word because the microwave was running in the kitchen behind him.
Yeah, the wife.
Technology from Norfolk.
Cup of soup.
Technology from Norfolk is all I can say.
Although, Ewan.
I'm not doing any sister jokes, by the way, Ricey. Don't worry. Go on.
I've just found a picture from the bash in 2015 on my phone.
Oh, cool.
Can't see it.
What's that?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was me posing for you being... What's the slogan on it?
It says, what a wanker.
What a wanker, yeah. Oh, and has sent the toilet seat as a prize.
Yeah, well, I had to carry it back on the train.
Yes, because it looked like a Mac logo, he says. Because it had the check on, didn't it?
Yeah, it had the blue.
It was like a blue toilet seat with a blue Union Jack on it. Yeah,
and I got everyone to sign it.
Yep.
And I was on the train, and everyone was like, "Why has that bloke got a toilet seat?"
Yeah.
To be fair, it's British Rail. People should expect that.
Yeah. Should have told you.
Bring your own toilet seat.
The woman next to you who had the chickens in a cage looked at you a bit strange. Is that what you said?
I thought if it was Norfolk, it'd be turkeys.
Could be.
Or a bucket of carrots.
Here's your name, Byron Matthews.
Bootiful.
So my strangest travel experience that's BTN related is going to Zurich to do work then getting a train to into Constance to do work for Siemens. And because I was still doing the Daily Show, I took the microphone with me. This is the microphone, the Rode Podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be 12 years old and it still works, an absolute treat. It's beautiful. But so imagine, right, that you're sending your bag through security checks. And they go, sorry, we just want to do a check on your bag again. Can you take that item out? So without the muffler on, right, it looks like a dildo.
Yeah.
Right. It looks like a dildo. So I'm stood there in a suit, and out of my hand luggage, I've produced this thing that looks like a 12-inch white dildo. And... there's a woman about three queues along from me who's looking at me like I'm an absolute raving pervert because I'm holding this thing in my hand lower down than I probably should, as well as... it was essential, otherwise I couldn't do the Daily Show.
So, I had a similar experience.
Dildos are not allowed in Switzerland?
No, they just wanted to pass the rest of it. I'm like, why would you want to pass the rest of the bag through and not this thing here? But
yeah, I had to travel with my Rode Podcaster a couple times before, you know, when having stuff like this was new. and I didn't have travel mics. And yeah, I had to pull this out for TSA. But then the other side of it is, you know, when I'd go to CES, there's that company that would give me review units of their sex toys. And so that, so that would go into my carry-on.
Why would they do that, Jeff?
Why not? You just have to go watch the shows. Those get the explicit tags. Anyhow, so one of the conferences, I'm flying back home, and I get to the security checkpoint, and they're like, "Hey, what's this in your bag?" And the guy picks it up, and I went, "Oh, that's a dildo." And he just goes like that and drops it so fast. Anyhow, people loved seeing that stuff come out of the bag.
Windrider said, somewhere I've got a screenshot of Greeny with the blow-up Johnny because the bash was being streamed live that week. Yeah, it was. Batwench has said, I'm still not on the moist list. How dare you?
I've still got my T-shirts going, are you on the moist list? And on the back, Ewan isn't.
Yes. That was so there is a video of me doing like a chart countdown to Alan Freeman's Pop Pickers kind of music, which was which is me counting down Batwinch's moit list.
I'm at that age now where it's more like a Sahara list.
You just want a cup of tea.
Yeah, cup of tea, slippers, and a good night, early night.
That wench finding out that I was on the moist list is something that I have worn as a badge of honor.
Oh, you're up there. You're up there with some really sexy people.
Didn't we have a banner on the website for that?
I think we had a banner on the website for that.
Probably.
I can probably find it.
So we're going to do a close up in a bit, and everyone needs to have a favorite BTN memory. I'm going to start. Mine has got to be Jeff and CES, mate, the sex toy craze. That was live from CES. Absolutely brilliant. There's two live moments, actually, that I really remember. I remember going on Tom Tom Merritt's show on the Twit Network, and we broadcast live from Victoria Underground along the platform because they'd just put the Virgin service in. And Steve Neighbour was holding the camera for me while I was talking to Tom Merritt. And that was a really nice time. And then, Jeff, your CES live sex toy review is still one of the best BTN moments in history.
I'm glad I could be there for you, Ewan.
Oh, thank you, man. Superb. Paul, Lee's, like I said earlier on, Batwinch, was you being force-fed Marmite?
I thought it was garlic. It was at a bash, and it was me and Righty knocking back a tube of garlic quickest.
Yes.
No, there is that. But Paul says that we made you eat Marmite on toast.
I'll quite happily eat Marmite. I've got no problem with Marmite.
Oh, well, okay.
I'll put those things in my gob. That's how we got
Maybe we turned you on to Marmite then, mate. I don't know. But Paul, that was Lee. I'm only reading out another listener's favourite, not my own. Don't have a go at me.
Fair enough. I must have been at one of the drunk episodes.
Well, I was just about to say, actually, Steve, you're going to struggle for a favourite memory because you were shit-faced through most of the shows that we did.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing changed.
No, I used to pick him up at the local pub. He'd walk probably about 2 miles to the local pub near him, and then I'd pick him up, and he'd already had two or three in there. And then there was some in the fridge when we got to the studio. And then we'd have some in the, and so there's not a lot of shows where you hadn't had alcohol in you.
That's true.
Do you have a favourite memory, mate?
What, me?
Yeah. I was giving you time to think of one.
Well, I did actually mention it earlier, that one where we were, we basically destroyed a bottle of Indian whiskey.
That was you, because I gave you that. I bought that and then gave it you because I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I drank it.
Yeah, you did all of it in a show. One bottle of whiskey per show.
And well, then he has to pace himself, Ewan.
Yeah.
It was only a pint. How on earth that night didn't see your end, I don't know, because a bottle of whiskey.
Well, if you remember rightly, we started on another one.
Did we?
Started on, yeah.
Well, I started another one because I didn't like the Indian one.
Oh, yeah, that Indian one was all right. A bit fiery, but it was all right.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
There you go.
50 quid on a bottle of Indian whiskey that I hated, and I watched him drink it in about 40 minutes.
And then watching Jeff's face going like, what the hell's going on?
I was just waiting for you to pass out, and you didn't. And sir, for that, I salute you.
Yeah. Well, Crikey Trousers tried it.
I remember you saying you did a bottle of whiskey once playing Civ 4.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And now I've got heart condition, so don't do it.
So be safe out there, kids. Ian, have you got a memory?
Oh, I've got a few. Coming to see you lot and sitting in the studio with you and making podcasts was always a laugh.
Yeah.
That was always a lot of fun. And going for a curry afterwards was always
a laugh. And the Ryder Arms.
And the Ryder Arms, where we met in the Ryder Arms. Yeah. Oh, that was spot on. Still is spot on. And the other one person who's not here that I thought of when I saw Wrighty's video that I need to mention is Eric Lanigan.
Yeah. Yeah, we lost Eric. Eric was really sad.
Yeah, wonderful Eric Lanigan was a shining light of what podcasting was going to be. Such a shame. But I remember when I saw Wrighty's video, you keep seeing spots of, oh, there's Eric.
Yeah,
we'll play it at the end.
I kept in touch with his dad for quite a long time. And his dad loved the fact that we did a nice tribute to him, and we had the book of condolence as well that everyone signed on the blog. He loved that because he could see just how much Eric was loved. So
yeah, he was a lovely guy. That's such a shame.
Too soon.
Yeah, far too soon. Was one thing. And from the second time around, it's just been so much fun every Thursday night chatting to these idiots, seeing Jeff and Patrice every week. It's been such fun.
The show formats, you can continue. You need to just do what you want with them and run them off your own servers. That's the big issue, is the fact that we lost the sponsorship for the servers, and it was just getting too expensive to keep it going as a hobby that I wasn't even doing. So
makes sense, mate.
Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah, we have some ideas.
Cool. You can have the name. You can have the website. I'll keep the domain going. Don't worry about it. Wrighty, what's yours? Mate, there's so many. There is so many with you. You were hilarious. No, go on.
The episodes, Seaman 3PO. The cup team biscuit.
it's probably still on the website, right? It's all there.
You completely lost it, mate.
I did. There was several times there where you said and did things, like the one of you with a picture next to your dry buddy that's on the video. I remembered that as soon as it came up.
That was my first time on BTN where I sent the picture in.
Yeah, we were like JML, and it was just like, do you own a dry buddy? And we were taking the piss out of the dry buddy, and Righty sends a picture of him stood next to his dry buddy.
Wait, it's still there.
Still there.
I've still got it.
Mate, beautiful. You were a regular source of hilarity, pal. You were great. Chipped in beautifully and went into the whole ethos of what we were about, of taking the piss out of ourselves and not taking ourselves too seriously. And you were in the queue there, mate.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Although I remember my first ever appearance was on the Rage show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You were asked to repeat to Rage about this stuff, and then I said,
Batman started that, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you called me.
The Rage show, yeah.
Yeah, you called me.
Yeah.
I didn't have my headphones plugged in or anything. I was a complete mess.
I did enjoy the Help show because I made the graphics for that with the finger wagging and stuff like that, and I was really quite pleased with those. And we only did about three of those, but we had questions in that were really good.
They were good fun.
But you did two different logos for it because I have two versions. Old and new.
Probably.
Patricia's on the ball as always.
Yeah. Dave, have you got a memory?
Oh, yeah. Just the memories of just hanging out with Jeff and Patrice and Chuck and all that time. We always look forward to every Friday as I came in later in time here, but that's probably one of the notable things I can say. And I can thank Jeff for inviting me and then bring me on the show. And I don't know if I can think of anything too funny. We've always had some laughs and, you know, coming up with cool things and always teasing that we spent your money.
Teasing that Chuck should finally buy an Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, there is that.
Me always having everything within my reach to bring something up on the camera, and they would like that too.
Oh yeah,
because I have everything here in my room.
Yeah, Dave has a freaking warehouse behind him. Like anything you want, anything. He's like, oh yeah, I got that here.
He can't unblur it because then it'd be a source of attack.
Yeah.
Joe in the chat room saying, I remember the underground thing. So yeah, that was cool. Tom, you've been around the network quite a long time, haven't you? But you've only kind of been on the shows recently. But
yeah, I think a couple things. One is Will Green always cracked me up, and I think playing the piano was out in some poorly lit area. The lighting was always fun, and he had such a good personality. So that was fun. And then some show, and I can't remember all the details. You asked somebody. If they believe that humans have landed on the moon, and he hesitated, and I think he finally said no, and I can't remember who it was. And you were just
that was Greeny. That was definitely Greeny.
Definitely Greeny.
Because you kept saying, so you're telling me you don't believe a man has landed on the moon. Anyway,
there was one episode where me and Muller were sat in like tinfoil hats with little spikes on the top.
Yeah.
And I think it was after that episode we decided to. So, next show, we're going to do these tinfoil hats. So, we were sat with these tinfoil hats on. I lasted about 3 minutes. I'm like, fucking hell, that's really hot. Well, yeah, it's supposed to be like chicken in the oven, mate, you dickhead.
But seriously, Ewan, I'd like to thank you for creating this community, and I wouldn't know any of these people without you, so thanks so much.
It's got absolutely fuck all to do with me. It's about everyone else who's crept in and perched.
That's not true.
And no. It is. It's about everyone else who's crept on the branch and chatted and just stuck around. That's the thing. It was always meant to be a place where we could go and hang out, and it was always podcast. You know, everyone says, oh, podcast like no one's listening. Yes. But I always said podcasts like your mates down the pub. And if someone's eavesdropping on you, that's fine. If they don't like what they hear, well, fuck off and eavesdrop on someone else. That was always the ethos. And like you say, that does in a modern cultured world, DHM, where it's sanitized and cancel culture and all that bollocks, it just doesn't fit anymore. So it's probably a good thing I haven't been on for a while. Chuck, what's yours?
Sort of like Dave said, there's so many, you know, meeting people I'd never met before, like Doc Rock and a lot of the guys here, you know, in and out of the things. But mine is more about you, Ewan, because I met you at Macworld in San Francisco.
Yeah.
We went to dinner with that whole group of podcasters at that French restaurant. I sat beside you. You know, we talked a little bit, and it was shortly after that, I think, that you sent me the Marmite. And I took one bite of the Marmite and thought, I thought he really liked me. What was this? But yeah, it was, you know, that at that point I was familiar a little bit with the Mac show, but not a lot. And then I got invited. I think the word may have come through Don to ask me to come on. And I've never regretted it. It's been just so much fun. And I want to echo what Tom said. Thank you, because I disagree. You are the one that put it all together, made it all happen, created 18 years of history with a lot of laughs in between.
Okay, can we stop now? Because I don't want anyone blowing smoke at my ass, because I'll cry. So that's the last bit of fucking ass licking I want, okay?
I'm not sure I intended that, Ewan, but okay.
No, my favorite memory of you, Chuck, is watching your where you were forced to share the stage with Alison at Macworld that year, 2014. And I have never seen restraint like it, mate. How you didn't tell her to fuck off, I've no idea. Whereas I did. And then we were all sitting in, I can't remember whose room we were in. Was it Martin Blocker's? We were in someone's, we all went back to someone's room, and And Sheila Nemshid, actually, you're all right, aren't you? I'm like, oh, shit.
you know that
favorite
Martin's
favorite memory from,
favorite
Wind Driver memory was Dr. Hammermack.
I was going to bring that up as my memory as well.
Right,
yes.
Okay, no, you're hanging, we'll get back to that then. And Mullet, Anders says, Mullet, do you remember I remotely turned your internet speed down when you were in the studio? I forgot about that episode. Yeah, we had a really good router. We were on a Cisco system. And Anders was the admin for it, and he went in and turned down his phone.
That was hilarious.
He found all of his devices and made them like 1.2 megabits a second.
Best. Fantastic.
Bastard.
That was but the thing is, he was complaining for weeks. And then we were talking about it, and Anders had logged on to the show, and then he sent me a message going, oh, fuck, I did this the other few weeks ago. I forgot all about it. He'd had like 6 weeks with lower speed. Crack it. That was probably one of the best wheezes ever, Anders. Spot on. Jeffrey.
Well, okay, I know you said give me one memory, but screw that. I'm giving you three.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one, Batwench. When you made the little memorial for Nightshade after she passed away, that was super sweet. So thank you. And then the second one, when my dad came on the show.
That was a wicked episode.
Yeah. That was just super fun.
Loved that night.
Yep.
That was fun.
And and actually my dad still talks about that. So
good.
That was just awesome. And then the third was getting to do live from the expo floor coverage at CES just for you, and trying to focus on what I'm being told while I'm being shown the different sex toys, while all I can hear in my ears is Ewan laughing so hard that I'm afraid he's going to stroke out.
There was moments in BTM where I thought
I used the term sex toy and stroke out at the same sentence.
Yes, I am.
Well, I think that's what the manufacturer intends, really. No, I there was times that you know, we'd come out with quips and we'd have a laugh, and someone would be quick with a comment and that kind of stuff. But genuinely, there was times, sometimes during the big show, particularly, where I thought I was actually going to cough up a lung. I was laughing so hard, I could barely breathe.
I got you that one day, didn't I? When I just put in the chat room, I wanked 15 miles on my Apple Watch. I didn't say it out loud. And you just went, fucking hell, Muller.
So, James Book of Records weren't there.
Yeah. Wasn't witnessed.
Callum.
I could do it for you now if you want.
No. Oh, my God. See, that's what happens when he has too much gin.
I'm going to drop in on our staff here. I'm at college and it's the end of the week, so I've actually.
Well, do your memory now, then, and we'll come back to Callum. Come
on. So yeah, two quick ones. One was the when we set the camera up in my little office and things, and I attempted to show you how I converted a MacBook Pro into a touchscreen MacBook Pro using
a hammer
and some electrical tape. And this is the Mac that I am broadcasting with this evening.
Oh, right, okay, wow. Fixed it then. Good.
Went back in Palestine for retirement, touch screen and go, there we are. It's all working great. And the second one, I think, was slightly alcohol-fueled during the comics thing, which is where we did the villain of the week thing. And it suddenly occurred to me, I'm sure you remember this, Jeff, we were doing greatest comic villains. And it suddenly occurred to me that there was one comic villain who was just way above all the others and things. Jeff, could you remember who it was?
I'm trying to remember.
Because we were like, oh, it's Magneto, isn't it? Because blah, blah, blah. It's Doctor Doom because blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. It's Lucy Van Pelt.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So it was like, and I've always remembered. And ever since then, I've carried around this thing in my thing that, in fact, Lucy from Peanuts is comics' biggest villain.
And so yeah, that, and it still holds true.
It does, doesn't it? Yes, Thanos. Nope.
So I related to that. I just recently rearranged and filed away some of the little notebooks that I keep on my desk because I take notes, you know, notebooks all the time. I had one just for the comic show. So every episode, I had the date we recorded and the stuff that we talked about so that...
And nothing in the right order.
Probably not, no. So that, you know, if we needed to reference back or wanted to make sure that I didn't talk about the same thing again, I had all that. So there's a notebook in the other room where there's a note in there about Lucy Van Pelt being the ultimate villain.
Yes, excellent. And I just before I've got to bow out, but I'm just going to say I know that, and I'm leaving, so you can't cut me off. I mean, Ewan, big guy, big personality, big network. I mean, honestly, I mean,
yeah, just, we were big at one point. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
thanks,
congratulations, man.
No, it's been good.
Good to see you.
Wild
anyway,
ride.
Dr. Mac out.
See you, dude. Thanks for everything you do.
What was bigger, the network or the personality?
Oh, there's personality.
Oh, the ego. Jesus Christ. Okay. All about me, love. Callum, what's yours?
It's got to be the time that we did the show from the studio. I think it was just before lockdown. Yeah, and it's exactly as you sort of mentioned. It's like being in a pub, but you happen to be streaming to the world on the internet. And we went for a wonderful curry, and yeah, I mean, I think I only started on the show in 2019. I did a couple of years, but it was wonderful and a highlight of every Friday, very much so.
It was, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. Had nothing to do with the fact that I was contractually obliged to be there every week, but I enjoyed it very much so. And did it all through lockdown when I didn't have to do it. So yeah, really fond memories.
Excellent. I think from a mental health viewpoint, there's quite a lot of us actually got through lockdown, particularly a lot of us got a lot of benefit from the fact that we can still see our mates.
I came back
and all that kind of thing. I remember sitting doing a lot of the shows from my van. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
The van on the drive,
and then one of your kids' hands reaching into camera shot with a fresh drink for you.
Well, no, that was it. So Callum, that was Mo said to me, because Mo was working with Callum at IMN Max, and I was out in the van, and he said, "You are leaving the keys in the house, right?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He said, "Because you're sitting there drinking alcohol, you are leaving the keys in the house." Yeah. So I was like, "No, I wasn't." So I had the keys in the van with me, and he's like, "Mate, that's a drinking charge. So you need to put the keys in the house out of the way."
That would help you.
No, I was in the back of the van as well, and there was a crook lock on the van and that kind of stuff. So it was, I think you've had a quite a hard time. But yeah, no, I turned the van into my office during lockdown. That was fun.
That's when we started with Zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, Cal.
And he used to love cows in the closet. I mean,
that's true.
Oh, he's out the closet now.
I used to go live from what was effectively the parts cupboard.
Yeah.
The only place that was quiet enough. And you'd have someone going to get something, and you'd just have a head or an arm flying about in the background. Mm-hmm. And sort of...
Oh, Martin?
Bones.
Tom's
Don't bring up Jackie's eye again. We're not doing that.
Sorry?
Don't bring up Jackie's eye again. We're not doing that.
No. My thing is, Tom's already mentioned it, but I remember when Greeny used to be on the show and you used to be trying to figure out where he was going to go. You'd ask him a question and he'd go off some diverse side street about who knows what. And we'd all be sort of watching it thinking, where is this going? Where, there's got to be an answer at some point. And he just stop, and you're all going, well, "What was that about?" It was just he was just so missed. It was just bizarre. The stuff he used to come up with, as you know, was just bizarre. So that's
Greeny was a tough character. Yeah, no, he I mean, like I said, he would go off on tangents and but they were always enlightening.
Oh God!
Wing Commander, Wing Commander Crikey Trousers has turned up. We'll talk to you in a minute, mate, because you're late. Patrice, what's your favorite?
Oh, I got a bunch. The very first ever shows that we did on a Friday. I think both shows were on a Friday, probably before the bash, at the really old studio, like the, well, for me, the first one that I encountered, like down the street from you somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, 30, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, I mean, it was, there were like a ton of people in a tiny, teeny tiny room. Batwinch was there. We were drinking.
That's right.
Like it was a lot of fun. So, I mean, that I remember. Streaming live from the WWDC show floor twice.
Yes, yes.
That was fun. Yeah, that was fun. A lot of noise and all of that, but like live report as things had happened. So that was cool.
I remember trying to keep some decorum. We were talking to some, to a lung lady at a stand about her product, and she was talking to the product, and all I could see in the chat room was really inappropriate comments about how much everyone fancied her. And it's just like, come on, guys. This is a professional woman. Can we just keep this? Come on. Let's keep Gorham. Yes, she's hot, but.
Yeah. Meeting Tom, and I mean, kind of related to BTN. The reason I met Tom in San Diego was kind of because of this show. Because he was like, oh, you're in San Diego, you're in my backyard, just come on over. Like, let's have a. And he would come over from work and we would have, I think, lunch or something. Summer of Fun was a lot of fun all the time. And one that stuck in my mind was which sci-fi show is the most realistic? Like that whole discussion was just a lot of fun. And finally, all the keynote pokers. We had so many ridiculous predictions and people trying to game things and you and the Jeff and the Jeffs. Oh, Tim Cook is going to wear this colored shirt and all of that. Like there was a lot of funny keynote poker things. So. That was for me the highlight.
I'm gonna say I forgot about as well the Pinch show. I loved the Pinch.
Ah, the Pinch, yeah.
5 minutes afterwards, and everyone's like, "What's that? Why is it called a pinch? Because it's when you pinch one off in the morning. It's just 5 minutes when you're having a shit."
And we had a strict time limit. It was exactly 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, we were done. Like it was a ridiculous topic, but exactly at 5 minutes, we would stop.
Patrice, can we put the shows up so that people can go to a website or a repository?
They will be there. They will be there. Like I moved it all to my server, and it probably will be there for a while.
This show is sponsored by Patrice.
Yes, it is. Now it's sponsored by me. No, it will be there.
I'll tell you what, let's just carry on then, shall we?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, but if you want, it's all there. From 2009 onwards, it's all still on the website.
Well, that's the only time we started making, we didn't start making video shows and stuff until 2009. Yeah. There was only the Daily Show. Batwinch, what's yours?
The shirt I made for you for one of the bashes.
Oh, yes.
God, yes. I hope you still have it. Learned how to make a shirt. And I don't know whether it's already said, but Debbie McGee.
Yeah. We've already told, yeah. It lost him a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's another greenie, but Debbie McGee.
So. I've never seen a five of spades. Oh, God, look at him. It's the Munter.
So I guess Ewan decided that he's done with the show, huh?
Yeah. Just
All right. Well, do you guys... Stop. Do you guys remember you, in the old studio, Ewan used to go, like, sometimes during the show, sometimes before the show, as we were streaming... With the mic on, go down to the bathroom.
Go to the Donut
Hens
Street, and I hope
you. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And then you tell me to operate the camera.
No, because my mic was always above me. It was always on a boom. I never had a lav. I never had a lav mic.
That could be a lav mic. Maybe
I never had a lav mic.
Without the mic, but you would always go like. Go to the bathroom.
I was quite proud of myself because my whole little studio, I had little in-ear receivers to a battery pack on the back.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't see, well, you could because when I turned sideways, because they were yellow, Yeah. Could see through. You could see straight through my head.
Yes, transparent head.
And then, but it. I never had a lav mic. The mic was always out of shot.
You're
just
right.
Above,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, maybe without the mic. But I remember we always had to bridge. Basically, all of a sudden you were gone, and we had to kind of keep going until you came back.
And last, but by no means least, the late Crikey Trousers, not dead, just late.
Hello, chap.
How you doing, man? What's with the wink and the moustache? Are you in your Spitfire?
No, it's not.
I'm actually, if I can say so, I am late because I'm just driving around the Lake District with my son. So I've just pulled into a hotel.
Where are you?
I've told him to get out. And I'm right next to Ullswater.
Oh, because we're in St. Right, Bees, cool. Up in the West Cumbria.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm doing a tour with my son. We're just having a bit of an adventure.
We'll go to St. Bees and have lunch with Batwinch.
Yeah, come up.
So,
not tonight, I'm more gaming.
Don't give him alcohol, he can't take it.
Lightweight. It was all your fault, arsehole. Never mind. I'm glad it's done. And I hope we never see him again.
Well, to be fair, though, we did talk about this earlier in the podcast. You were trying to spike his drinks and he caught you and then flipped it back on you.
No, it wasn't me. I wouldn't do such a thing. I'm a good lad.
Yeah, you would. Anyway, yeah, what's your favourite memory, Gray?
He's an arsehole. So.
we have mentioned you having a gallon of Guinness and then trying to do a podcast earlier on in the show. So.
Oh, yeah, that was the first time I came to the studio, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
that was, and the last time.
That was Muller's fault as well.
Why?
No. I don't think Muller was there that night.
I was.
We did go to the Kismet, yes.
Remember, it's more fun to be the dire influence than the good example.
Graham, I was there, and I was trying to...
Are you mortal?
Oh, well, I was saying, yeah, he's still learning from his Geordie book. Oh, I'll give you a phrase. I was out on the beach with my mates last night. Now, oh, man, I was mortal.
Right.
Hey guys, I do need a drop.
I do. I live in Cumbria, so I get something very similar.
Bye, buddy. Thanks, Ewan.
Oh, yeah,
take care.
Man.
Thanks, Dave. Have you got a memory or what then, Graham? Because you were pissed for some of it, so you don't have memories for those nights. But...
No.
I do remember the bashes. I remember the balloon fights. I think I remember you hitting somebody's wife in the face with a balloon.
Shut up.
What?
It was a glancing blow.
About things the flesh wound. I remember. Funny how that sticks in your mind. That was fun. Yeah.
It was. The bashes were always excellent.
Lots we'd have to do it just get together and...
No, we could do. We could just have... I've got a nice deck out here now, so...
You know, I don't see why not. I'm in.
All right. I'll put some of that in the Slack room. You need to start using the Slack room again, Batwinch, sorry.
Yeah, listen, I've been to hell and back, but I think I've got the same heart condition as Steve. I'm not meant to drink, but fuck it, you've got to die something.
Exactly.
And he's having to go, right, time check, beep.
Hey, Graham, thanks to you,
one of the greatest
I now walk around and periodically say, still can't make a proper fist. That will stick with me for the rest of my life. Thank you for that.
That would be the end of Jeff's sex life.
So lonely.
Martin, I'm going to cut you off because I don't want you blowing smoke up my arse again. Love you too. Go on, what do you want to say?
No, I just want to say not so much. The seed you planted has meant that we've made some good friends here. We've met Patrice when he came back.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Pikey when we came down, Muller, some of the Variety Boy. Obviously, some of our American cousins we haven't actually met face-to-face, but you feel like you've got those friends, and that will carry on. So that's one of your best legacies.
You've got
Thank you, but no. The thing I would say is, I mean, the first time we had the idea of the bash, Sharon was like, so how do you know these people? Well, they listen to the show. So you met them on the internet and they're coming to our house. Yeah.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah. But how's that okay? I said, I know these people. And she went, you've never met them. Okay, but yeah, I do know them. I know who they are. I know what they're. And the thing was, it was like, we made badges for everyone and it was their mm-hmm. Twitter handles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Claw, Muller 999, Clathwide HQ. And it was all the, it was all just their Twitter handle, so they knew each who each person was. But we all knew each other, and mm-hmm. I have never clapped eyes on Carl Swagger. But I could have told you a year of knowing him, I quite happily let him babysit Ellie, so I knew exactly who he was as a person.
Mm.
Wouldn't let me babysit him.
Well, you did, yeah. there's a dodgy deal. No, but the thing is, it's like, although
exactly
we
who you are as a person,
no, but it wasn't me. That's the thing. It was us. It was people being themselves, genuinely being themselves, and people then realizing who that person was. Never met Tom, but I know full well we'll shake hands, and he'll go, nice to meet you. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, man, give me a hug. And then we'll sit down and drink beer all night. Absolutely. It's absolutely. You know, and that was the thing at Macworld. People were walking up and shaking hands. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Give me a hug. You know, because people took the time to know learn each other. It's got nothing to do with me. Nothing at all. Bollocks. I just created.
You,
I created
you
the.
Started, you were the seed that started all of this.
I made a so forum that everyone else being, fulfilled, not me.
Yeah, don't yeah. start being so humble. You were the seed that started all this. Yeah. We've got.
Where's the ego?
I won't disagree. I set the tone of, like, you know, be irreverent, get on with people, be yourself, be mates down the pub. That is me. Yes.
Yeah. Good.
But
good.
But I mean, we weeded out the wankers pretty quickly.
Hold on a minute, still got crikey trousers.
I'm not mentioning any names, but there's certain people that only had one or two appearances and they were told to fuck off.
Alistair won it. Oh yeah.
I wasn't going to mention any names.
Oh right.
Right, I'm going to draw it to a close because I have a girlfriend in the room who's being very patient. This is the end of 18 years. Shut up. This is the end of 18 years of throwing shit out into the void and hoping some people listen to it. And people then coming back and going, I want to be part of this. I want to just talk to all those people. That you've seen that there's 12 people here who know each other, and there's plenty more who've helped the network. If I missed you out on the Facebook post, I apologize. I simply couldn't remember everyone's name. So many people have been around BTN over the years. Mr. Shadwell and his daughter as well. She did all the logos. There's so many people who have given so much of their time, and thank you to them. This wouldn't have existed without you. It's not going to go anywhere in terms of the fact the Slack room's still going to be open. We're still going to post in there and give each other shit, hopefully, and carry on. That doesn't mean I'm never going to be on a podcast again. I really ought to do. I mean, I'm a professional photographer who doesn't do a podcast on photography. I need to start doing that again. So I'll pop up at some point. Whenever there's an opportunity to sit on a podcast with any of the people that you see here tonight, I will always say yes to it. If you've been listening to BATN for 18 years, thank you very much. And I've always said it at the end of every podcast, and I really, really mean it, especially tonight. Thanks for listening.
Well done.
Okay, stop recording, for fuck's sake.
No, not yet, not yet. Yes, now. I will show the video.
Video.
Oh, the video.
Video killed the radio.
Shh. My mother's not going to strip, is he?
No,
we're not saying.
Good Lord, look how young you look at.
Fuck you. Yeah, can we add this in afterwards? Because none of the audio synced.
Oh, I just spat water all over my monitor. You bastard.
The show with more adverts than a London phone box.
I like my toast done on one side. I I can't think straight. I've just lost it completely. I'm sorry. Paul Holmes in the chat room sent a picture through of him stood next to his dry buddy.
Oh, no. Yeah, right.
Oh, do you want to see some sexy stuff? Here's the newest thing that they have. This is awesome.
Good times.
This is the best tech podcast on. It's professionally produced. Discussions are in-depth and topical. The pace of the show is perfect. It's incredibly kind of you, even if it is totally inappropriate to what you've been listening to, mate.
This just turned into the sexiest show ever.
This is possibly the best podcast I've ever had to experience.
Great. How lovely.
Stop the recording.
Yes. Oh, there we go. There's the button.
Fantastic.
Wow.
That was fun.
Yeah, we'll